Tremaine Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack by
Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies. We have a game to cover from this past weekend. Not only that, we have a game coming up on Wednesday, which is why we are recording this evening on a Monday. And you are hearing this if it comes out in our feed on a Tuesday. All of that is to say that there is a good amount of stuff to get to tonight. And some of it is good. Some of it is not as good, but we're going to cover it all regardless. I am here tonight with my usual co-host, Carlos. And before we ask anything about the game or the match that's coming up, Carlos, I do want to ask, how are you doing tonight?
James, I'm well. It's 100 degrees, I think exactly, in Washington, D.C., or feels like might be. I don't know, whatever. It's
ridiculous. Very good conditions to play a Club World Cup, I've heard.
Yeah, very good conditions to play a Club World Cup, especially for the European teams who are not complaining about it at all. It's very hot out. There's not a beach anywhere near me to go to. And there's no Gulf Coast breeze like there is back home in sunny Tampa, Florida. So it's pretty miserable outside. I've been here in my apartment working from home, enjoying the air conditioning, enjoying the Club World Cup in the background. And looking back at the Rowdies highlights from this past weekend to prep for our show, James, and I'll tell you what, that was less enjoyable than the air-conditioned apartment I'm in currently. I'll tell you the other thing I wanted to mention right quick before we jump into everything is that Van Kaziel's finish, we'll talk about it just a little bit, ridiculously good. Like, that's on the other end, James. I almost got confused. I thought he scored a goal for us. Like, it was such a beautiful finish. But we'll get to that in just a second. Rowdies unfortunately lose 2-1. James, you alluded to it. Bad news that we'll get to is that we lost. But I'm excited though. Wednesday game means it's a quicker turnaround, a quicker opportunity to bounce back against an Indy 11 team, which has not been super impressive this year. We'll talk about that as well later on too. James, how are you doing back home in the sunny Tampa Bay area?
Yeah, it's raining, so I at least don't have to deal with the sun along with the very, very hot conditions. It's just very hot, but my pale skin actually prefers the gray weather, so I'm fine with at least that much of it. I was also reminded today, thanks to my scrolling on Twitter before we got started, that it is 15 years from the day that Landon Donovan scored a late stoppage time winner against Algeria in the World Cup in South Africa, a moment that I think was probably a soccer awakening for many people. You can go, at least men in blazers, you can go and check them out on Twitter and find a side-by-side of the goal itself, as well as everyone on the bench going absolutely insane as it occurred. So if you are looking for anything positive in soccer and you are an American or American adjacent person, I would suggest going and checking that out. Because there is plenty of non-good soccer stuff and plenty of non-good stuff going on in the world. We're going to avoid as much of that as possible while we focus on the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Let's get into it. In fact, last week, the Rowdies lost to Pittsburgh 2-1. Not the best, obviously. It's not the best result, but at the same time, I don't think that I actually had predicted a win, but most people probably would have said that this was a harder game to get a result from because we tend to not do as well in Pittsburgh specifically, maybe one against them, but at Highmark Stadium, yeah, not our best record, as Carlos has just alluded to. So we're going to get into that a little bit more as we move on. This week on Wednesday, we will be playing Indy 11. Luckily, it is at home, so that gives us a little bit of an advantage, I would feel. I'm sure the conditions in Indiana, even if they are hot, are still not the same as the conditions here, which will wear you out, I'm assuming, a little bit quicker, as long as there's no lightning delay, of course. So let's see how that one goes, and we'll do a little preview beforehand as well. Don't forget our ticket competition. If you bring a new person to a Rowdies home game, all you have to do is take a selfie, post it to social media, tag us, whichever social media it is, and you are entered into a competition to win free tickets later on in August. It is to one of our event nights, so please keep that in mind. There will be lots of pomp and circumstance for these anniversary nights that they have planned later on in the season. And if you want free tickets, we can get those for you if you bring somebody new to the game. That's the whole thing. We're trying to grow the fan base. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube or any major podcast platform, and follow us on all your social medias. You know what to do. Carlos, let's jump in and let's start with a quick recap, I suppose.
Yeah, James, the, I guess, unsurprising start in net at this point now, with Bondre getting several starts in a row. Bondre was in net, your keeper in this one, with Van Kaziel in front of him, Castellanos, Wyke, and Guillen making up that middle three on that back line, and Bodily out left. Bassett was in front of them in the midfield with Hilton and Alvarez. Alvarez still settling into the Grady squad as well, getting another start. Great to see. And then Woob and CS Woobs and Manu Arteaga up top. It's been a little bit, I think, maybe I'll fact check myself later on, but it feels like we hadn't seen them starting together in a little bit. So good to see, maybe. Didn't really lead to many thrilling opportunities or goals in this one. Obviously, one goal for us in this game off the foot of Manu Arteaga, who, again, seems to be heating up, which is lovely to see. I mean, if the season's ever to turn around, it'll be because him. I'm going to force Woobs get active in front of goal. But on the other side of that coin, Woobs, I feel like, has slowed down just a little bit. No goal in this one. Has slowed down his production from a little bit earlier on in the year. James, Pittsburgh gets the first two goals in this one before Arteaga pulls one back later on in the first half. It was a ridiculous goal that I alluded to at the beginning of this podcast. Van Kaziel with just, again, an insane finish. Like, I was genuinely confused. I thought we had scored a goal for a second. Like, it was so perfect. Beautiful finish, unfortunately, into our own net. Yeah. Double agent Van Kaziel, who recently played for Pittsburgh Riverhounds, still seems to have a soft spot in his heart for them, helping them go up early in this one. 1-0. It wasn't very long before Augie Williams, who had been struggling this year to get anything going for himself in Pittsburgh. In fact, Pittsburgh as a team had been struggling to get any sort of offensive production going, despite their really, really solid back line. Very little in the way of goals for them have been coming this year. But Augie Williams gets a goal finally for him in this season. And unfortunately came at the expense of your Tampa Bay Rowdies. A really, really unfortunate second goal, just breakdown in the back line and ball that went right over Wyke's head. I think it's just poor positioning from our back line as a whole in this one that could have been avoided. But it is what it is, James. We go down 2-0, have a few chances in that first half. Luis Alvarez gets a decent look. Bondre is forced to make a couple saves in this one. Has a decent game before Arteaga gets his goal back, and the Rowdies would eventually still go on to lose 2-1, despite maybe one more chance in the second half that we can mention later on. Pittsburgh easily could have scored another one in this one as well. Like I said,
if not a couple more, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, I think Bondre was forced to make a couple impressive saves in the second half as well. Nick Moon gets involved defensively, and when he comes in and stops a play that developed in the 87th minute, he keeps the ball off the line and then steps in front again. If you remember that one, really, really, really good hustle from him. Like, maybe poor decision to clear the ball right into the middle of the box, but there's only so much you can do when you're running at the speed he was running at. And doesn't matter at the end of the day, Rowdies drop this one 2-1, whether it's 2-1 or 3-1, doesn't really matter at this point, because the loss is just another loss right now for your Tampa Bay Rowdies. Yeah. Unfortunate. Maybe unsurprising. I thought that we could probably do a bit better than we did in this one, but we'll break it down in just a second. Standings update. We're back in last place. We had a fun run of a few days while we weren't in last place. Hartford had a game, and I think still has a game in hand on us. I'll check in a second. They actually got a very, very impressive win this past weekend that pushed them up to 11th. So we flip-flopped with them. They got a, get this, James, a 3-0 win against Loudoun United. A Loudoun United team that, by the way, is in third place and had been off to a fiery start to the season. And hold on to that first place spot for at least a few weeks. So a really, really impressive win for Hartford. I wouldn't say things are probably turning around over there, but certainly an impressive, notable win for them in this one. So they jump ahead of us. They move to 11th. The Rowdies are back into last place. And again, Hartford does actually have a game in hand on us. So an opportunity to increase that lead on us. Don't know how much that matters in last place. But James, across the league, there was actually some interesting results as well that I just wanted to highlight really quickly because, yeah, there are some fun games going on. Let me find this one. Here's one to highlight for you. This was on Friday, June 20th. North Carolina FC knocked off Louisville. North Carolina not having a great year this year by any means. They're actually towards the middle, towards the bottom-ish of the playoff standings. But that middle pack in the Eastern Conference is very tight. So they've moved up all the way to fourth place with that win.
Yeah.
On top of that, you had, like I said, the Hartford 3-0 win. Out west, the team who had been really struggling, Lexington, got a big win, 2-1 over Colorado Springs Switchbacks. This is another one I want to mention for you. Miami FC, who, again, not been too hot this year, actually the only team that we've beat in league play this year, got a 1-0 win at home against Charleston, who, as we know, is one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference right now. So a few of the, if not, well, all three of the top three Eastern Conference teams dropped points this week. Like I said, Charleston lost, Louisville lost, and Loudoun lost. Two teams that are towards the bottom of the table, actually. So good games, makes for interesting results, but unfortunately makes that bottom end of the playoff table, that eighth place spot, just seems to get further and further from us as we keep dropping points here. And again, those teams are getting impressive results. So keep an eye on this as we move through the season. It feels like that eighth place playoff spot is inching ever further away from us. It's important to know. I know we only have two wins on the year, and maybe you're more pessimistic than I am, and you've already written the season off. I've been holding on to some hope because, like we've said, this league is rather forgiving in terms of how easy it is to get into the playoffs.
And Carlos, it must be noted, you are the ever optimist here.
Yeah, but I'm not writing it off yet. I am just saying that that eighth place spot is getting further and further away from us. There's a 7-point gap between us and Rhode Island in eighth place. I'll note that Indy 11 in ninth place actually has a game in hand on us as well. With 14 points, Hartford in front of us, 9 points with one game in hand. So things are getting complicated down here, James. We have to start getting some results and hoping that some of these middle of the table teams stop beating these top teams, making it even harder for us in the tough season as is. So that's your quick standings update on the East. Out West, nothing new. New Mexico United still in first. El Paso having a surprisingly good season in second place, 23 points. FC Tulsa's risen up the table pretty quickly. They're in third place with 21 points. In San Antonio, Phoenix are having pretty good bounce back seasons, 21 points and 20 points respectively. Neil Collins is Sacramento Republic, still trying to find their footing, but they're in eighth place right now with an impressive 2-0 win against a good Rhode Island squad this past week. And so they're sneaking into the playoffs right now. Plenty of season left to play, James. But things are looking interesting out west as well. So keep an eye on that bottom/middle of the playoff pack. That's where the interesting games are happening right now. Okay, long-winded ramble/standings update. James, we lost again that eighth place playoff spot, inching ever further away, like I just said. Where do we start with this one? Well, the own goal. Should we start there? First goal of the game. Nothing really going for either team before that. I'm looking back at the highlights again. There's maybe one chance before that goal. Pretty simple look that Bondre is able to save. But then we move ahead to this this corner. Okay, I don't know how to describe what happened here because I don't know. I'm just not really. It's hard to put yourself in that position. You know what I mean? Like, the ball's coming at you full speed, whatnot, whatever. Then Kizio's on the back post. It's obviously a mess of people in the middle of the box. The ball doesn't hit anyone else, actually. There's a pretty good amount of space between Van Kizio and the rest of the pack and the guy he's marking. And he just puts his left foot up and guides the ball into the top left corner of the goal. Like I said, impressive finish. I wish it was on the other end. Sorry, top right of the goal. What is there anything we can say about this? Is it worth breaking down? Like, thoughts, James? It just feels like another silly goal when we've had probably more than the average amount of silly goals that we'd like to let in between goalkeeping mistakes, you know, errors coming out of the box on the keeper's end, and then obviously a own goal here. I'm not recalling if we've got another own goal this year, but it just feels like we've had a really high amount of unfortunate moments like this season.
Yeah. Honestly, this, like, the phrase that comes to mind when I watch that is when it rains, it pours, but also the when it rains, it pours would have been more accurate for the month of May. I think that June has been better. It hasn't been good, but it has been better. This was more something that I would have expected during May when we were struggling through just about every game that we had. It was similar to the I'll jump ahead real quick and then I'll return back to this. But the second goal that Pittsburgh scored as well, I think that one we could have done better. And it's not all on Ethan Bondre, but this was another one where I think Ethan Bondre kind of flapped at it and he didn't really do a whole ton on his side of things. It's not to say that the buildup or anything to it, he could have prevented that, but you would hope that if I think he got both hands to it. So
yeah,
the fact that it still ended up in the net is not ideal.
Yeah. And on that goal, before you jump back to the Vin Kaziel thing, like I'm looking back at it, his positioning is great. He's tracking Augie the whole way. He's on the ball. He's right in front of Augie Williams. By the way, guy that I'd mentioned multiple times in the offseason, someone we should sign as a striker. Right. Not that he's doing too hot this year, but just kind of funny that the guy I mentioned is the one that ends up scoring on us. Bad luck. Bondre's in the right spot there. Like you said, he gets both hands to it, and I just not strong enough there, unfortunately.
Right.
It's not like
right.
It was a particularly like bullet type of header either.
No.
It's a looping ball. He kind of just barely gets his head on it, knocks it forward. Actually, right at Bondre, as he's kind of falling towards the far post. I'm not never played goalkeeper, I'm not a goalkeeping expert, but I'm sure that those who are would look at this and say he could have done a bit more. Not that the ball should have even gotten there in the first place. I think it's ridiculous that you can win a header
exactly
in that 6-yard box. Between Wyke, really Wyke should have been tracking that a bit better. Maybe Bondre comes out to punch that a bit more if he tracks that better. But, nothing great there. Ball should never got there in the first place. But like you said, maybe a bit more from Bondre. But, you said you were going to go back to that Vin Kaziel goal.
Yeah, I did want to return to the Vin Kaziel goal. And the reason that I jumped ahead a little bit is because when I was watching we watched the game, obviously. And just to refresh my memory, so most of the time I'll watch the highlights before we get going here. Mark it up with my notes and try and see if there's anything that I need to hit on. A little after the second goal that Pittsburgh scored, they had their sixth corner of the match. And it's not like their second goal was very deep into the second half or even in the second half at all, if you want to get that far with it. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that there were a lot of corner kicks for Pittsburgh. Multiple of those did look dangerous. Obviously, this one didn't look dangerous. It shouldn't have gone the way that it did. But it was a performance from the defense that was really lackluster overall, in my opinion. And it took me back to the month of May where we were saying, boy, everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong here. Things that we didn't expect could go wrong. Things that you wouldn't have even thought of are going to happen. I don't think that this means that every game after this is going to be a disaster, but it did bring me back to a couple of those games through the month of May. Not the worst of them, not the very worst one, of course, but several of them I felt were reminiscent again for these two goals. And it's really unfortunate that Thomas Vin Kaziel, I'm not sure what's going through his head in that moment. I think he's trying probably to clear it. I don't think that he's trying to do something fancy or trying to get a little too cute with it. I think it just comes off poorly. But man, to come off poorly, and just like Carlos said, in all honesty, if it were reversed, it's a great strike. God, it's just terribly, terribly unlucky that that's the way that that comes off. Yeah. And that's why, yeah, that's why I had that same emotion all over again. It was really interesting. The first half, we did score. Obviously, we didn't tie it up later on, but we did get the first goal, if we were going to do that, with Manuel Arteaga. And I think the Rowdies at Highmark Stadium have frequently had problems, especially in the past, with this formation, because we do like to employ a lot of width. Blake Bodley and Thomas Van Kaziel in this one, until Nick Moon came on later in the game. And we cannot get a lot of width on this field because it is literally not wide. It is bound by a road on one side and a river on the other. There's no real room for them to expand that footprint. Maybe someday they can turn it away from turf at the very least, but we'll wait for that to come too. In the meantime, the Rowdies are stuck to try and figure out how best to get around Pittsburgh in this tiny field. And in this game, Pittsburgh were the ones that were able to get wide and get a lot of crosses in. And a lot of those came from set pieces, but the set pieces also came from plays where they were wide and getting good crosses in. The multiple corners that I had already mentioned. Another big chance that came off of a set piece, a free kick. So yeah, it's really weird that we were so poor at defending the wide areas, because we're usually good at attacking those, but also there shouldn't be as much room on this stadium to get that wide. Maybe Pittsburgh is a little more used to it. I can understand that argument. But one more quote from the highlight package that I rewatched. The Pittsburgh Riverhounds are having their way with the Rowdies' far post. Effectively, there's always somebody free on the far post that they are crossing to and finding over and over. It was very lackluster defensively. And I don't know. It was, I don't know where that particularly fell apart for this game. I don't know if it's a mentality thing. I don't know if they just never woke up for this particular game. But Carlos, what did you see? It was pretty bad, especially on the defensive effort for me. I think that I don't think that we created a ton either, but especially at the back, I was not impressed.
There was, I'll bring up one more thing defensively to talk about here. As I'm looking back, I'll draw your attention to the 29th minute. You mentioned this in passing. You mentioned the one of the set pieces that Pittsburgh had a really, really good, clear look on goal in. It's off of a free kick. I want to point this out because I think this kind of summarized our night. Despite the fact that it didn't end up in a goal, it absolutely should have. This is a ball from, what's this guy's name? I don't know. The screen's blurry, whatever. Roberto Idrak gets the shot off here, off the set piece. So you have all your center back, you have your Augie Williams, your tall guys up in the box trying to score a goal for Pittsburgh. There's just too many guys in the middle of the box for the Rowdies, and there's a miscommunication here at some point, because Arteaga is the guy defending Idrak on the far post. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Pittsburgh's having their way with the Rowdies' far post. This is kind of the epitome of that for me. I'm looking at this. Idrak wide open, and again, in the six-yard box. The ball falls in the six-yard box with nobody on him. I mean, Arteaga should be doing a bit more there. I'm not really expecting him to be the best defensive player on this squad. But I'm looking at this shot, right? And you have just one extra Rowdies player on a guy that's already marked, and you have this Idrak guy wide open on the far post with nobody on him, with Arteaga not really doing much to track back and try and stop him. And it absolutely should have been 3-0. It should have been 3-0. I mean, this was probably Bondre's save of the night right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really impressive point-blank save. Again, good positioning this time, hands strong enough to kind of keep the ball in front of him. And Van Kaziel clears it. But that's just not something that should really ever be happening. Like, it's not like this team is just playing together for the first time, especially this back line. These are all guys that, like, know each other pretty well at this point.
Have been at the Rowdies before, if this is their first season returning.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, this is just fundamental stuff, man. Like, someone needs to be out on him. And if not, Arteaga needs to be tracked back a bit more. Like he was on, like that was his guy, apparently. And he was way too open. So whatever. That should have been 3-0. There was a couple good looks from us in this first half, other than the goal. I think the goal was just a good little run from Ollie Bassett, by the way.
Yeah.
It was a great run. He drew like basically four Pittsburgh midfielders and defenders onto him. And opened up a little bit of space for Arteaga. Arteaga's top of the box, kind of one-on-one with the Pittsburgh defender. Like I said, Ollie drew the Pittsburgh guys towards him. Arteaga found a little bit of space because of that. And he was able to turn around and put together a really nice finish. It's a nice goal, good finish, good pass from Ollie. Well done. After that, a couple of good looks. There was one really, 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 like, this is Vancisio had a tough night, obviously. His shining moment here that would have probably helped us to overlook what happened in that first goal was a beautiful ball from our own half, a long ball. Luis Alvarez was sprinting through the middle of the field, timed his run right, and Vancisio put the ball like on the money, like beautiful ball right over the Pittsburgh backline's head. Like couldn't have been more perfect. It was a little bit lower. Pittsburgh defenders heading it away. It was perfect. Landed on Luis Alvarez's foot. And he kind of just half volleys it like sky high and wide, like nowhere close. It was a beautiful ball that, looking back, was probably our best look of the night, even like taking into account the fact that we scored a goal. And for whatever reason, it's funny, like the highlight packages that USL puts out aren't always like super great because they seem to skip out on some of the nice chances. And I truly think this was our best chance of the night, but didn't make the cut apparently. I didn't see if the Rowdies highlights actually, like the Rowdies page have a separate highlight package. I have no clue. But it was a great look. Alvarez just skies it high. And like, again, I said this when we were talking about how this game would go last week. I said, this is a game where Pittsburgh is proving to be a really good back line, a good team defensively. There's not a lot of goals for them. We said it'd be a low scoring game. 2-1 is probably more high scoring than I thought it would be, to be honest. I thought it was really like a nothing,
for me, yeah,
maybe 2-0 game, like for someone.
Yeah.
That extra goal, unexpected. Pittsburgh scoring two goals, unexpected. Like they don't score goals this year. They just don't. They're horrible offensively. And we scored one of them for them. So, you know, make it that way you will. But I said that you're not gonna have a lot of chances in this game because of how defensively solid they are. Because of how we play our game, like going wide and the fact that we've never really done that successfully in Pittsburgh, all that into account, you're going to have 1, 2, 3 chances if you're lucky, like good looks. We took advantage of one of them. We didn't take advantage of the other couple at most that we did have. I think that Alvarez look is going to be the one that haunts me for the rest of the season because it was just a beautiful ball and it would have been one of our goals of the season if that went through, because again, just the pass from Vancisio was on the money. Blake Bodley had a decent look as well earlier in the half before things kind of hit the fan, that he just volleyed wide as well. But that was about it in the first half. So I will say offensively, we had probably like the number of chances I would have expected us to have, but it wasn't pretty. You know what I mean? Like, We had a lot of the ball, couldn't really figure out how to play our game. We're kind of just throwing things at the box and see what happens, which has kind of been the Rowdy's MO sometimes, like in the last several years. But it's worked because, you know, you're playing on wider fields, obviously. And we have guys who are able to facilitate that, right? This team, like offensively, is still finding its rhythm. Arteaga scoring goals, which is nice again. Woobs has been pretty good despite like not getting a ton of chances for himself. When he does, he puts them away. He didn't in this one, unfortunately, but it just hasn't worked really for us this year. And that seems like it was always going to be the case in this kind of situation on a field where we really struggle to play well. So I'm not totally surprised, but I did think this was going to be a bit more inspiring on our part. And it just really wasn't. It was kind of dead. It was a dull game. And it, like you said, it kind of summarized, it felt like it rains, it pours, right? When it rains, it pours. When that first goal went in, it kind of felt like, okay, here we go again. But noting what we've talked about last week and like how we've come back from one goal deficits early on from the last several weeks, like think about that Lexington game, that good performance against Louisville, where we go down 2-0 and start playing some of our best soccer. Obviously, Tormenta, we had a great comeback in that one as well. Am I missing one? Was this last week? You know what I'm saying? We've been coming back from the goal deficits. Miami, right? Miami. Miami scores early on us, and then we come back and win 2-1 in stoppage time.
Yeah.
Like, we've been able to do that more than once in the last month, which has been pretty impressive to see. I would like to not concede that first goal. Like I said, don't put us in our position where we have to do that. But it was nice to have that little bit of hope that we can, like, you know, we've been able to do this, we can actually do this. It's just this field, this team, so defensively solid as they are, like, it wasn't really ever going to happen. Especially when you dig yourself into a hole, right? It's not even, you're not getting beat by Pittsburgh. Like, you're beating yourself, quite literally. Like, I mean, you kidding me? Like, it's an own goal. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, it can't really get much worse than that, much more unlucky. Like, I guess it could. It could be like a blowout, right? But, yeah, second half, not much going for us. Again, Bodley had a decent look early on in that half that, unfortunately, was saved. It was actually a pretty good look. I'm looking back at it now. Really, really impressive save. One-hander from the Pittsburgh goalkeeper. That's about it. I mean, I'm looking at the highlights, and they're not showing anything notable. The notes I had from the game don't have anything notable attacking wise.
Yeah, I will just put out there that my notes are similar.
This was a frustrating moment because the game had been frustrating all game, right? Later on in the half, and I forget what minute it was, but I had it in my notes that one of our clearest counterattacks of the game, like, we actually did have a pretty good look coming, and maybe it was because Pittsburgh started to slow down, but we had a really, really great look on a counterattack. And then the ref, like, got hit by a Pittsburgh player. Do you remember that? Were you watching that game? Like,
this happened. I don't remember that specifically, but
like, I forgot what Pittsburgh player it was, but Pittsburgh player is tracking back from an offensive opportunity they had on the Rowdy's end. He turns around, runs right into the back of the referee, who goes down, and like, the game stops. Highly unfortunate, because I think we had a great look on the counterattack there. I was so frustrated. Again, we were down 2-1 at this point. We needed the equalizer. The wide play was kind of working in that moment, and all of Pittsburgh's lines were pretty far up the field. So we had a great look on the counterattack. And that's when it kind of did feel like, even more so when it rains, it pours. Like, are you kidding me? The ref, like, got bumped in the back and she's down. Like, no. Like, it's so unfortunate. What else happened? There's a really silly Pittsburgh turnover later in the half as well that could have easily been a goal-scoring opportunity for us. Really should have been a goal-scoring opportunity for us. It was, like, 3-on-2 on their own end. But Arteaga just turns it over. Not his brightest moment. So, like I said, we had about the amount of chances that I said we would. 3. Like, it wasn't pretty. And the way to win this one or get a result is putting those away. We weren't clinical, and we weren't creative enough to afford to be, like, unclinical, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
A ton of opportunities. I guess you can put in, like, 1 out of every 4 chance. You knock in a couple goals. But if you have 3 looks in the entire game, 3, like, actual looks at goal, and you put in one of them, and it wasn't even, like, you know, your clearest look, like, you're not winning that, right? It's unfortunate. Sucks. We lose another game. I don't know. I don't really know what we can say. Like, at what point is it really, like, unlucky? Or, sorry, at what point is that, like, bad luck something else? You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to
say. Yeah, this game... I said, obviously, where it led me with my personal sentiments, but I think that in addition to that, I just wanted to note that it was a game that I don't know. We can't say anything if we're not in the locker room, so I don't want to speculate, but it just never seemed like the Rowdies really got going. Like, it never really seemed like a game where the Rowdies were at game speed intensity. That's where I'll leave that. I think that we never really achieved that.
That's we've had episodes on this podcast in better seasons when we go to an opponent who's not playing well, independent of the fact that it's Pittsburgh and we always struggle there, right? Let's pretend it's someone else, right? Another team that's not playing good soccer, can't score any goals, and we let them beat us away. Like, it kind of felt like one of those. That's kind of right? It felt like, for a moment, that we're coming in here as, like, in good form, quote unquote, playing decent soccer, kind of starting to find our rhythm, and then, yeah, like you said, we didn't look like we entirely turned up for this one. By the way, we forgot to note that the Leo Fernandez injury is still an ongoing thing.
Yeah, he was not even on the bench.
Really unfortunate, because, again, I thought he had started to play pretty good soccer. He kind of started to find his rhythm again coming back from injury. We said the worst thing that could happen to him is re-injuring himself. And the bad luck kind of continues, right? He gets injured in a warm-up, not even like playing the game, man. Like, he gets injured warming up before another game. So it's highly, highly unfortunate that he's in that position. And in a situation where our roster is the size it is, right, we can't really afford to lose that many guys and even be in a position to try to turn things around, right? We can talk about this later on, but Nate Worth as well is loaned out, right? So that's another player that will be without for the rest of the year. Not that he'd been playing much this year, but it's a thin roster already. So I'm just thinking about numbers wise, like where we are. And it's unfortunate. So I miss Young Abira too, by the way. He was still not on the bench. I have no clue what even his injury was or is, but he'd be a nice body to have back on the field as well.
He certainly would be.
He was playing decent soccer as well before he went down. So that's all I have on this game, James. Do you have anything else? I think that was my last point to make, is like, we had a lot of quote unquote unlucky moments this year, more so than we've had in the last, I don't know, since I've been watching the Rowdies. We hadn't really had that many like oof moments, right? The only, like, when I'd been watching, when we played against Miami last year, I think, was when, like, when we blew out Miami in Miami, and they brought in two goalies, and there was, like, two different, like, stupid goalkeeping mistakes on their part in the same game. Like, it feels like we've had multiple of those at multiple times this year. Not even, like, just goalkeeping mistakes, but, like, goofball errors on the back line, no goal, right? Just, like, miscommunicating. At some point, like, you start to think of yourself that it's not like entirely just bad luck at this point, you know, like we're however many games we are into the year, we're still in last place. We have two wins and they're both against Miami. Not that Miami's a bad team by any means this year. Like, they did just beat Charleston last week, but I would like to start getting some wins against other teams too. if we're going to turn anything around, like, we obviously have to. So I don't know. Bad luck, sure, but also injuries, also just not turning up for the game, just ugly performances as a whole. We've seen that throughout the year, but I don't know. It's unfortunate because, like you said, when it feels like things were starting to kind of at least somewhat trend in the right direction, it feels like we took another couple steps back, right?
Yeah.
I said that when we were watching the show, or when I was watching the game with my girlfriend. I was like, it feels like one step forward, three steps back, right? Like, it sucks. We're still in last place. I think that's the worst of it, because, like I said, when we were building that momentum, starting to put things together, kind of started to crawl our way out of last place, right? And when we got there, Hartford gets their win, and we're like, okay, well, we're back. And like I mentioned earlier, like, several other teams that are on the bottom end of this Eastern Conference have also got big wins this past weekend against good teams. So it's not getting any easier. You know what I mean? The bad teams, quote unquote, in the East are getting better. They're playing better soccer. And the team that's, you know, now above us just got an impressive 3-0 win against one of the best teams in the conference. So it doesn't get any easier. You have to start putting things together. The East is good at soccer, and that eighth place playoff spot is going to be hard to get if we don't start figuring things out.
There's nothing more that I have to add to that. Carlos, should we move on to our man of the match for this one?
Yeah.
Mine is pretty straightforward. I'll say I couldn't choose anybody who was on the defensive line based off of everything that I have already discussed today. And that included Ethan Bonder, even though I do think he had a couple of good saves that we mentioned over the course of this too. So my options were to go with an attacking player or to go with somebody who came off the bench. I was probably leaning towards somebody who came off the bench, and I realized the most that any of those players got was 18 minutes, and I just couldn't justify that. So my man of the match for this one ended up being Manuel Arteaga. He did get the goal, and it was a nice finish. He found his lane, and he put it away. So fair enough. He adds to his tally for the season. I think he's up to 3, and at least in the league. And so we need somebody to be scoring. If it's Woobs, if it's Manu, somebody just keep doing that, I suppose. That's positive.
Yeah. My man of the match was Ollie. I think he had a pretty okay game despite how everything went. He'd been kind of like he's had good moments this year. He's had okay moments. He's had not so great games, but I thought effort-wise, he's always been kind of one of the highlights of this team, even when we're down, let's say, 5-0, right? In this game, I thought he was impressive, you know, as a player, right? On field, tactically, he looked good. Looked like he was running circles around some of the Pittsburgh guys when he made that run up and got the assist on Arteaga's goal. He looked good. Seems like he's finding his rhythm with Tampa Bay Rowdies, and that's good to see. Unfortunate that it hasn't helped us lead, you know, get more wins, but he's finding his rhythm. And obviously we need everybody in the best form possible if we're going to start turning things around. So good game from him, good assist from him. I think that's about it in this game. James, Rowdies lose 2-1, but it's an exciting opportunity, if you want to put exciting in quotes, on Wednesday to turn things around. Before we do any of that, I'm going to throw in a shameless plug in here about our RBLR Sports shop. Liking and subscribing to this podcast is free, but if you need some new threads, be sure to check out the RBLR Sports store, shop.rblrsports.com. You can use the promo code COYR for 10% off. Check out all the cool designs that have been cooked up over there for all the Tampa Bay sports teams. Sun, the Rowdies, the Lightning, the Bucks, the Rays, our baseball overlords that keep us in limbo. Go check it out. There's fun stuff over there. Baseball season still in full effect. Hockey season is still far away, but you can start getting prepped for it. And it seems like the Bucks season is slowly creeping up on us, so go check it out, COYR for 10% off. Okay, James, like I said, Rowdies play on Wednesday against Indy 11. It's always a fun game. I don't know. It's like we've played them a lot in NASL. It's cool to see them join the USL. Now we still play them. I like their fans. I like Indianapolis as a city. Hope some of them come down to Tampa Bay. They're always cool to see. How's this going to go, James? Tell us about this game. Wednesday, 7 p.m., Al Lang Stadium, one of our first midweek games, if not our first midweek home game of the year.
In the league.
Yeah, and I think our only league midweek game.
I don't know that offhand. I don't remember.
I think it might be. James, you want to tell us about Indy 11?
Let's get into it. So, as Carlos said, this Wednesday, 7 p.m. at Al Lang, if you can be there, you should be there, because we are trying to help turn this team around as fans. And the best way to we can do that, first of all, is to give the team a little bit more money by buying tickets. But beyond the transactional aspect of it, we can also help the team with our voices. So let's do that. Yeah. The game will also be on ESPN2, according to our producer, Eureka, intrepid producer, Eureka, who always comes in with the facts that I have missed in preparation for this. So I appreciate Eureka covering me with that additional point. All right, let's get into Indy 11. They are ninth in the East overall, or not overall, but in the East with 14 points. They have only won three games, so one more than us. Not having the best of seasons, but their 14 points is, of course, a little bit more than ours. They have also won two of their last three games, so just keep that in mind. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was win-win-loss at home versus Las Vegas this past weekend. But Las Vegas has a new manager who just took over because they got rid of Antonio Nocerino, who should never have been appointed in the first place. That's neither here nor there. But Las Vegas are probably going to be doing a little bit better now. And it's not to say that Indy are not are just terrible at the moment. They are probably actually doing a little bit better at the moment than they were earlier in the campaign. Yeah. Their formation has changed a lot recently, and players have been available or unavailable. One of those, by the way, is Romario Williams, who is with the Jamaica squad at the Gold Cup. He will certainly not be available on Wednesday because they have a game Tuesday. He's not going to be leaving that game, even if Jamaica are out and coming and joining Indy on Wednesday. Although I still suspect that Jamaica will move on. And I hope so, because I don't like Panama. Let's go with their last starting 11 then. Hunter Salty was in net behind Bruno Rendon, Ben Ofemu, Patrick Hogan, James Musa, and Finn McRobb. Finn McRobb, a Scottish man, but I don't know if you couldn't tell that from the name. It's probably as Scottish as you can get.
The very Scottish guy, by the way. I'm looking at the picture on FOTMob, but
yeah, he is. He lives up to, if he's a very loud person, then he'll live up to every stereotype. Midfield recently of Jack Blake, Cam Lindley, James Murphy, and Aidan Quinn. I want to point out that for midfielders, there is not going to be a ton of width necessarily. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to try and break down the Rowdies specifically, but we're going to get into that a little bit more. But my point is, I don't think that they're going to be looking too much down the wings, especially with Finn McRobb being the player on the left. Bruno Rendon is the right wing back, and he will be more adept at that spot. But I think Finn McRobb is a bit more of a center back who can play a left back position as opposed to a left back who can play center back, at least from what I've seen of him, which is mostly in college, I should point out, because this is his first season in the USL Championship. And those four central midfielders in the four-man midfield were all behind Elvis Ammo, somebody that I think Carlos also mentioned we might sign in the offseason. Not that that would have been bad in this case. He has 7 goals on the season. That is between the Jägermeister Cup and the USL Championship. Aidan Quinn, on the other side, has 2 goals and 5 assists. So he's, despite his not being a natural winger and possibly playing a little bit of a wide role, he is still doing relatively well. Keep an eye on that. Jack Blake, former Rowdies player, has good numbers as well this season. If I'm not mistaken, it was 3 goals and 2 assists, or 2 goals and 3 assists, one of those. So those are the players that are doing well for Indy, at least on the number side of things. As I said, they are not likely to focus on the wide options, and I would imagine that their goal is to try and overload in the center of the midfield. We have been doing a little bit better there because Lewis Hilton is back, and previously it was Ollie Bassett and Luis Alvarez while Leo Fernandez was not available. If Leo is back, obviously that might change things. I'm assuming, though, that we still see Ollie Bassett and Luis Alvarez get the starting role in front of Lewis Hilton. And then we'll see if it's up top, like we have been seeing Manu and Woobs switching off. Maybe they both start and they can add to that role in the central midfield so that we can help clog the midfield a little bit more instead of Indy 11. But those are the main talking points for this team. Carlos, let's get into it just a little bit more. What do you have on Indy 11, if anything, related to their gambit to fill the entire field with central midfielders?
Yeah. No, it's definitely an interesting approach in the midfield. When I've looked at their lineup, it's something that did catch me off guard, and I didn't know if it was just kind of like, FOTMob or ESPN. Like, the graphics always kind of mess up formations. But no, you're right. It is a midfield full of central midfielders.
And they had those guys in quite a few of the prior games too. Just wanted to note that.
For the record, all very, very impressive central midfielders. It's a good unit of midfielders. It's just kind of strange seeing how they kind of adjusted their positions, right?
Right.
For Indy. Jack Blake is an impressive guy in the midfield. Again, he was a former Rowdy and had great matches for us. I miss his little YouTube vlogs that he used to make when he used to play for the Rowdies. If anybody remembers those, he kind of documented the day in the life. Those are always fun to watch. He kept those up for a little while when he moved. I think he move from the Rowdies to Indy? Was that the jump? No, he moved to Real Monarchs in San Diego.
Wow, good recall there.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not. I have my phone up on the side.
Oh, okay.
I was looking that up. Cam Lindley, another very impressive midfielder. And then you go to Aiden Quinn, who's tender age of 33. So still a lot of soccer left in him. But you know how much damage he did for Phoenix. Like, he's just an impressive midfielder as well. So this unit is impressive. They haven't scored like a ton of goals, but they've had really, really great moments. Of course, Elvis Amo in front of them is someone that I really, really like as a striker. It's quick. He's super tall, strong build on him that makes him really imposing for any back line. And I think he's going to give us trouble because our back line has kind of seemed to get out physical sometimes, seemed to get out headered sometimes, especially with Lasso on the bench, right? Lasso has kind of, you know, been coming off the bench in closing games sometimes in the last few weeks, which I'm not, you know, totally opposed to. I'm okay switching things up defensively, see what works. But even, like, you know, seeing how Augie Williams was able to get really easy header on us against Wyke and how those headers have kind of been a problem this season for us, I think Amo can cause some serious difficulties and out-physical our back line in some moments in this game if we let him, and if we let them get to that position. We got to be careful with him. And this guy who's given us trouble in the past, I have a nightmare about that game that he played for Hartford. I'll always mention it whenever his name comes up. They're like, half the team had COVID. It was like an emergency goalkeeper that they brought up to play. They were playing with like nobody. And Elmo just scores an insane single man goal on us that will always live rent free in my head. He's a really good striker. He's had up and down moments in the past few seasons. He hasn't had great seasons in the past few years. This season, he seems like he's not just floating for Andy. So he's trouble. And by the way, that's all going without mentioning Indy's striker on the bench in Kizza, right? Who has had, I'm not mistaking him, right? Yeah, Edward Kizza's on the bench.
No, you're right, yep.
For Indy. And he's had really, really impressive seasons in the past for Pittsburgh. He had 12 goals last year for Pittsburgh. Hasn't really found his footing in Indy's starting lineup, but 2 goals this year for Indy. So pretty good options in the attack for them. I'd be lying if I told you I said I knew a lot about their back line, because I don't. But looking at the numbers, James, there's 2 teams tied for bottom of the league in terms of goals conceded per match. Do you know who those are?
Well, based on where this is going, I would assume that Indy 11 is one of them. And I don't know, possibly us at this point.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay.
Indy 11 and the Rowdies are both tied for worst in the league when it comes to goals conceded per match at 1.8. Indy's conceded 21 goals in their match, but they have a game in hand as well. So obviously more games to concede goals for them. But of course, we've conceded the same amount of goals per match, 23 goals off of our games in the league play this year. It's not been great defensively for either of us. And right, if you look at the numbers, like by that stat, the 2 worst back lines in the league, which I think is a little harsh for us because I think it's probably worse, but at least by that stat, we're at that same level with them. So opens the opportunity for a good chunk of goals in this one, for better or worse. Like I said, Indy hasn't scored a ton of goals, but they certainly have had their moments in the attack. I saw one of their more recent games. They scored 4 goals in a crazy 4-4 draw with Hartford back on May 28th. But then their last 3 games have all been decided by 1 goal. 1-0 win against Birmingham, 1-0 win against Pittsburgh, and a 1-0 loss against Las Vegas. So maybe they've tightened things up defensively. They've only conceded 2 goals in the last 3 games, but Who knows? All that being said, we're struggling. They're struggling. I think we could still get a result at home because we're at home and it's our last home game for a while. Let's go make something happen, James.
All right. Well, with that, I think that we can jump into our predictions. Carlos, I don't know where you're leaning, although I feel like I have an inkling. I will tell you that I am feeling relatively good about this. Would you like to start?
Yeah. So I see your prediction on our notes for the sake of, I was thinking that, but for the sake of switching it up, I'm going to go 2-0, which is risky because I did just say we have the worst defense in the league, according to that stat. But I feel like we're going to win. I don't feel like we have the offensive rhythm yet to score more than 2 goals in a game. So that's where my head's at for now.
Yeah, I do think that we can get a win in this game. It's partly down to how bad Indy is. It's not necessarily that we are doing particularly well. Although, as I said, their form possibly is turning around a little bit recently. So maybe I'm sticking my neck out a little bit, but a 2-1 win to the Rowdies is my prediction. Eureka has joined us in the win column. If we don't win, then nobody gets any points, which will be just like last week. But Eureka has chosen a 1-0 win. So those are our predictions. If you have your own, obviously, please let us know and let us know how wrong we are or are not. Carlos, do we have anything for the extra time segment?
Club World Cup's been interesting. That's been fun to watch. That's it. There's international soccer, like the Gold Cup, obviously. Keep an eye on that. But nothing to mention that comes to mind.
All right. Well, with that, I guess at this point, folks, we can get you out of here. But thank you so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate when you do. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere you are, we are too. I'm mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR or you can reach Carlos
at CarlosTPA10 on Twitter.
There we go. Like and subscribe to the podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. Again, wherever you are, we are there too. So for a less than stellar performance, but hopefully a good win coming up on a Wednesday evening, come on you Rowdies.
Arling game this week.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.